league game, Derry's half forward line of McFaul, Doherty, Cassidy really went deep to get on the ball. Do you expect just to go half back line to sit back and let them have the ball?
I think they'll cover the lanes. You know, they'll always have, I think the system that they have, they like to have, you know, the break the pitch maybe into two lanes and always have, you know, one of their wing backs on either side. And that's possibly you have John Daly also maybe pushing slightly to the left. So I think they'll always have two there because they will be aware of Derry's counter attack and that they do want to break at pace and get that outlet ball. So to stop that, you really do need, you know, to cover those lanes. So I think they will sit, and then you know, one of the half back line on midfield really to have onus to put, you know, to push up, and add a bit of pace. But I would be surprised, you know, if they do push up, all the way because you are leaving, you know, gaps there, and especially on both sides in those lanes. That's where Derry want to attack, at pace, towards the goal.
The Maroon and White Pod brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
Welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. Galway Derry is the focus this weekend in the opening round of the All Ireland series. And the other teams in Galway's group as well are Westmeath and Armagh, but they won't play until the following weekend. Top in the group goes straight through to a quarter final. Second in the group gets a home preliminary quarter final, and third in the group will get to a preliminary quarter final, but they'll have to travel away. Coming to you first, Sean. Obviously, huge to get a Connacht title. There has to be a huge confidence now within the group since that, and we're obviously looking to move things forward now after this Connacht title win.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, one of the big things is getting the big players back on the pitch. Like we've seen the difference even Damien Comer made, just again asking questions all the time. It's if any young lad is watching football, really, you'd almost tell him just watch Damien Comer. The first thing as a forward, first thing he'll always do is ask questions of his man. If he doesn't get past him, you know, he'll recycle. But again, that first initial contact going straight for goal. It's definitely one of the things that any young lad should be kind of trying to bring into their game. And you know, him getting another minutes under his belt, you know, Shaney getting more minutes under his belt. And again, there's been a lot made of the injuries Galway have had. And you know, when you get a result like that, you know, sometimes you can count it as a blessing that, you know, they've been building a panel. And having lads like that, you know, there's an argument to be said that a lot of the teams that have won All Irelands in the last few years, there's an argument to say that they finished with their stronger team than starting. So you know, that's one of the things now Galway have probably been trying to build the last few years, having that strong bench. So a lot of lads have got game time, and you know, and again, you know, there's a lot of young lads still there fighting for places. So I'd say there's you know, chomping at the bit of training.
Obviously, the Connacht Championship final win, that'll be parked somewhat moving forward now, Barry, but what do you think it's going to do for the group?
I don't know, is like the fact that it was a Connacht Championship kind of the thing that's really going to kind of drive the thing forward from the Mayo game. It's the fact that it was Mayo. I think it was the nature of it. It was the energy that they took from it. It was the resolve that they showed. It was everything that Sean mentioned about getting players back, some players finding a little bit of form. I think overall, like, the one thing you have to say is that no matter what has been thrown at them this year, at no stage have the players looked like they were going to down tools for Pádraig. And as a manager, like, he would be very realistic and know, and it's no disrespect to the guys that played early doors in the league or maybe, you know, the first round of the championship, possibly against Sligo. But if you don't have your best tools at your disposal, you're on the back foot. And he will know that getting all of these guys back makes Galway a better team and gives them a better chance. So I think all of that thrown into the pot makes that Mayo game, you would hope, you know, a real turning point in Galway's season. And they've had a brilliant run into the Derry game. Now they knew they were up against Derry first. They would have had a full week to really prepare for Derry. Management would have then watched the new Armagh was next, or the losers of Ulster was next. They would have, really studied that Ulster final yesterday, and they now have a week as well as preparing the team for Derry, preparing themselves for Armagh. So it really couldn't have been better, and it shows the importance of getting a bit of time, and why topping the group is going to be really important, because it buys you that little bit of time in terms of preparation for a quarter final.
How important is that, Sean, to top the group and avoid the prelim? Because last year we've seen it. We had that extra game in the prelim straight after the Armagh game, picked up an injury in the Armagh game, then we picked up a couple of injuries too in the Mayo game. But just to avoid that and I suppose keep this winning run going.
Yeah, it's huge. And again, it's just as Barry said there, it's that extra time preparing for teams. Like, there's fine margins now at this level, and every team is trying to get an edge. So to have an extra week or two to prepare for a game, and that you can really hone in on the team's strengths and weaknesses, and really tackle how they're going to play is huge. So topping the group will be massive. And again, the reward for beating Mayo in a kind of final is probably the toughest of the group of death. So they'll want to keep this momentum, being home first game. And again, it's strange, probably, winning a kind of title, and now you're not favourites even for the next game in the group with Derry favourites. So now I know it's slight favourites and it could go either way. Derry again will be chomping at the bit. They've had 5 weeks. It's rare that, in the last few years that any team's had 5 weeks probably to prepare for a championship game. So it'll be interesting how they prepared. They probably, studied a lot of the possibilities. They more or less knew who they were going to get, really. So they probably studied both Mayo and Galway. So again, I think they're going to really tackle. Now you look at Galway's, past record against Derry, it's quite favourable. I don't think Derry have bet them in the championship before. So again, there's a lot on the line for the first game. Both teams are going to hit the ground running, and you don't want to be finishing second or definitely finishing third. And even if whoever loses this game, you have really tough games coming, and you can't really forget about Westmeath too. Last year, they caused a lot of problems in their group. While they didn't get through, they could have easily got through in the last game. So again, that's not going to be a gimme. So it's going to be interesting weekend anyways, and how both teams tackle this game.
As you mentioned there, Barry, it's a big incentive for both teams this weekend.
Yeah, like, look, podcasts like this and all other media outlets have to have something to discuss to pass the hour and pass the various episodes. But the reality is, their full focus is just on this weekend. Like, I know it's cliched, and they will say, we just take one game at a time and see where that leads us. But that's exactly what they're going to be doing. The talk of the importance of this game, because it allows us go and top the group. Because, there's nothing to say we get bet by Derry, we beat Armagh beat Derry, and then it all is thrown up in the air, because Westmeath will certainly feel like they can take a scalp. And just to go back to the Westmeath game, I think last year against Westmeath, there's a bit of a hangover from that, from Galway, in that I think Ronan O'Toole at 11 caused Galway so many problems and caused John Daly so many problems. The
Yeah,
team.
that scoreline really flattered Galway last year.
Yeah, big time. They I did the game for Galway Bay, and like it was really in the melting pot with 10 minutes to go. And in fairness to Galway, that they pulled away.
Rory
But
Cnellan got sent off too, actually, yeah.
exactly, yeah. So so that does there is a bit of a hangover from that, and John Daly is maybe not having the influence that he's had in this Galway team. But that's as an aside. But yeah, like, big carrot, but it certainly won't be discussed. Everything that'll be discussed this week will be just about Derry getting the performance out of themselves, optimizing their strengths, trying to negate Derry's strengths, and then I suppose fingers crossed and hope for the best.
I suppose, Barry, but the biggest thing that the two kind of narratives going into this weekend to be, can Galway back up to Mayo performance and can Derry react?
Yeah, certainly. There's another narrative. It's only a small one, but it was something that I was thinking about actually after the Connacht final. Like, I think on the line, you have two of probably the most decorated and revered figures in Gaelic football, with Mickey Hart and Pádraic Joyce on the line, and the respect that those two people will have for each other, because they're out and out, football men, if that's, that old cliche. But yeah, I think that's certainly a narrative. And it will be like, and it'll be, I suppose there'll be, we'll be looking at, can Derry learn from Mayo? Like, I was chatting to someone on Monday, and they were talking about Mayo, and they said, Jesus, we pulled a real rabbit out of the hat with this new Damien Comer fella. Like, they never saw this coming. And Derry certainly won't make that mistake, because the naivety in the Mayo defence and the naivety of the Mayo management that left McBrien on Damien Comer one on one. McBrien's a fine player, but he isn't in the same, Damien Comer's Premier League, and I'm not going to insult young McBrien by saying what league he's in, but he's certainly not in Damien Comer's. And to leave him one on one all day long, like, I would say when Damien Comer halfway through the second half of that game was going, like, this is manna from heaven stuff. Just keep kicking it into this corner, lads, and I'll keep winning it. And that's the thing I'd be worried about, is will Mickey Hart, will he clog up that right hand corner, that 15 channel, and stop the supply of ball into Damien? And if that does happen, Galway will be talking about that this week. They'll be saying, look, if that happens, what can we do? And might leave opportunities in other parts of the pitch. But there's going to be huge interest all over the country in terms of, particularly Derry. They were brilliant in the league final. I thought at times they were very good against Donegal too. They just got caught for them goals. And there still is an intrigue in Galway as where we actually are, because at times against Mayo we weren't great. At times against Mayo we were brilliant. We are heavily reliant on Damien, but he's one of the top footballers in the country. And like, if we can get him into the game early and get some more influential players and get involved early, then we're in with a right good chance.
Is the big thing from the Mayo performance in itself, Sean, that there's still plenty of improvement? Because until the last few minutes, there definitely was moments in the second half where it was kind of heart in your sleeve stuff as a Galway supporter. Like, they did look in trouble and they made a couple of mistakes that probably even the management would be looking for improvement in those areas.
Yeah, probably again, it's probably one of those, they have a Connacht's Cup, but they definitely had plenty to work on in the video analysis, and breaking down that game, especially some of the turnovers, just going into the tackle. We see a lot of the teams now, it's quick ball, it's hand passing, staying out of the tackle, give and go. And I think just sometimes go a bit naive going into the tackle, and the ball was kind of ripped out a few times. And I know Mayo had a high enough press, but again, against Derry, they're going to swarm you. They're going to have twos and threes. They're going to try to get the double up. So you can't be going into the tackle against them. You're going to have to, move the ball quickly. And again, it will be interesting, even on Derry side, after Oran Lynch and what happened, with the goals conceded, will they stick to the same? Will he be brave and coming out again? And there's one thing kind of coming out with the ball, but coming out to midfield, challenging kickouts again. Will Galway target that? Will they know? Will they look at the Donegal game and what McGuinness kind of tactic of, trying to go over everyone with the kickout? It will be interesting.
How do you see both keepers? Because even Conor Gleeson towards the end made a vital punch for Mayo's kick out from Colm Reid. Oran Lynch, like, he was at fault where Donegal kicked the ball over him. How do you see both keepers playing conservative and staying in the goals, or do you see both keepers taking the risks that they have taken in the previous games?
Probably risk reward, and again, a lot of it is sometimes I feel like dependent on weather also. And there's a big difference coming out and for that dry ball and trying to influence. But if if it's a wet day in Pier Stadium with a wind, it's one turnover and slippy ball. And again, there's one or two times when Conor Gleeson came out and Galway could have been in serious trouble. And then, the risk reward when he did come out when Galway needed that point, he did get a touch on it, and Galway claimed the ball, and again was a huge impact on the game. So it is risk reward. It kind of comes down to be honest, at that level, it's decision making. They're not going to have certain moments that there's a bit of freedom for the keepers. They're going to have to read the situation, and it's the risk reward that they're going to have to take. And I don't think either team is going to change how they play dramatically. But I think they will. There's an element of trust in their keeper of the way they play and getting on the ball. But again, another intriguing battle will be midfield, and I think that's a really area Galway have to target. You're probably looking at the best midfield in terms of being of mobility, anyways, and Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers. And they're always good for a score or two a game, and they're the really driving force in Derry. So to have possibly Maher had a big impact there again off the bench. His work rate, I've been really impressed with him actually over the last 2 years. Just his honesty on and off the ball. I think he does add a lot to the team. So it will be interesting, will Paul Conroy be there? Will they add a bit of extra legs also? And I think that's going to be a huge factor on Saturday, that midfield battle and who's going to get the foundation to actually bring the ball forward. So it will be fascinating to see.
Do you see either keeper coming into that midfield battle, Barry, for the kickoffs?
Yeah, I don't see Derry changing dramatically. I think they'll tweak it a little bit. I don't see Conor Gleeson doing it. I think it was a needs must situation. If memory serves me right, was he after kicking a free? So he was probably he probably maybe he was a bit, maybe
Confidence
didn't
was
want to
lost.
run back. So I don't think in general we'll see Conor Gleeson occupying any other spot than the keeper spot. In terms of Orrin Lynch, yeah, I think he'll maybe tweak slightly what he's doing, but he will certainly try to have a serious involvement in the game. Because you can't really throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, if this has been gotten Derry to the heights that they've got to in the last 2 or 3 years, one game and they can't say, oh, Jesus, no, we have to get rid of that. What they have to do is tweak it. See how Donegal exposes it, and see how Donegal exposes it, and then try and address that issue. But he's still an integral part of what they do, and he'll be a key player on Sunday for or on Saturday for Derry, and a key player for Galway to try and negate as well. And I said this over and over again. I think some teams like will do a couple of things. Obviously, Jim McGuinness tried it. And use what they were doing against them. I also think it's an opportunity to kick ball down on top of the keeper and have some of our maybe even kick it high and maybe someone like Damien Comer come and see does he want to keep coming out. If he keeps getting the ball kicked down on top of him and we've our heavies really jumping and making life difficult for him. So I think I can't see him changing tact, but I can see Galway trying to use that against them as well in the over the run of things. Now, what they might do is tweak it. So maybe for the first kick out he stays, second kick out stays, third kick out comes. So you're trying to mix it up so Galway are unsure of exactly what he's going to do, because I think in general over so far he has been coming for every kick out. So they might just try and mix it up there and try and throw the cat among the pigeons a small bit for the Galway lads.
Particularly because Gleeson does have the range to kick over Muir.
Yeah, but like that's when, and there isn't any more to be fair. Like the last 2 years, Conor Gleeson has really cemented his place as Galway's number one. There's no, in terms of Pádraic's kind of, I suppose, shot at. I don't know, was it you he was having a go at, Paul, or
Ah, now, come on.
who in the media he was having a go at, but certainly wasn't me, but.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I think it's a bit historic in terms of the abuse, certainly not the abuse, the wrong word, in terms of the criticism that Conor Gleeson has got. I think over the last 2 years, I don't think there's been many people questioning Conor Gleeson's position as Galway's number one keeper. But we knew maybe a couple of years ago when someone like Conor Flaherty was pushing hard and there was question marks over who was going to get the number one choice, you know, in 2022 against Derry. He, you know, with a couple of shaky moments. But we always knew the not the there's loads of reasons, but one of the main strengths he had is the Pádraic liked was his ability to get the ball out long, and that hasn't changed, and it adds a real, you know, there's a real strength to that, and it gives Galway great options.
Something that does need to improve, though, Sean, going back in the Mayo game, there are stages where Conor Gleeson came out with the ball, and there actually wasn't much movement. Like he was looking at one stage. I remember he gave it to Johnny Heaney, and then Johnny Heaney got bottled up. But the movement when Conor Gleeson does have the ball, like there needs to be more movement there.
Yeah, and I can see Derry almost letting Conor Gleeson have the ball, you know, bringing him off the field and then swarming him as quickly as so going that kind of going soft tackling first, let him up the field and then just all kind of swarming. And especially if Galway don't have support for him there, he'd get swarmed fairly quickly. And you know, you could even see that once or twice coming with Mayo, and you know, they're waiting for, you know, one slip up by him. And you know, again, I don't think anyone would disagree that he wouldn't be the most comfortable on the ball, per se, especially on that pitch, in terms of other players. But again, in fairness, he needs more movement. He needs people coming off the shoulder. And again, it's the players, you know, coming to him, but then you're kind of closing the space. But someone needs to be kind of making space, maybe that outlet run, open it, and then, you know, looping around. So and definitely, you know, I think that the trailer would be important, you know, if he does have to turn, that someone is around him, because that's what Derry will want to do. They'll want to show him the line and then close those angles and swarm him. So again, you know, it will be interesting. Confidence will be high, and you know, I think, you know, he seems to be the free taker now from long range, you know, after, you know, putting those two over.
He obviously keep him on the long range freeze given.
Oh yeah, and in fairness to the, you know, that one at the end, you know, it had probably had 10 yards, another 10 yards in it, you know, to spare. And you know, that was against the wind, I think, if I'm correct. And again, you know, Pure Stadium is, you know, the pitch was looking well. You know, the grass is looking, you know, perfect for those off the ground kicks. So again, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a free from 50, 55 yards that, you know, Galway slow down and bring him out again. So, you know, it will be interesting now over the weekend to see how he will perform, you know, 2 games in a row with the freeze.
On Galway's team selection for Saturday, Gleeson's obviously going to stay in goals. The back six looks fairly settled. Johnny McGrath, Sean Fitzgerald, Jack Lynn, Dylan McHugh, John Daly, Liam Silk, Sean Kelly, Paul Conroy. Just in attack, do you think Galway will start with the team to finish the first half? Where obviously we did see John Maher and Shane Walsh come in for Kyle Sweeney and Kieran Malloy. Barry, is that how you see the team lining up on Saturday?
I don't know, Paul, to be honest. I saw John Maher will start. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think what he brings in terms of energy is just it's off the charts. You know, I'd love to see his GPS at some stage. Like I'd say, what the ground that he covers, he's big, he's mobile, and just a brilliant attitude and a brilliant team player. It wouldn't surprise me to see the person that start actually be Matthew Tierney. And Shane will then come into the fray at some stage because, in fairness, Shane like kicked three really important points. You know, the free was, I suppose, you'd expect him to kick those, but you know, the two from play, really, really good points. And maybe that's something that might excite him. He might say, look, early doors when this thing is hot and heavy, maybe that's not for me. And he, you know, against Derry in 22, he was kind of on, he was peripheral enough to the action. So I think he might be saying, even for himself, it might excite him to say, look, let the game open up a bit, let me come into it.
So you see
But
Matthews starting in a 15
like
role and kind of coming
I,
out.
Matthew's fit. If Matthew's fit, they feel that there's 40, 50 minutes in him. Then I thought his impact was huge. I thought, you know, he again just a want and a desire to get on the ball and do something with the ball. And at times, you know, we've been on here or on radio or whatever, and at times maybe criticize Matthew for being peripheral in terms of the game, but like when he came in,
Just on the breaking ball, even he was immense.
he made a real impact. And like, you know, Mayo were really struggling on their long kickouts and have been struggling on their long kickouts, and just Galway, you know, they gobbled them up with Paul and John, Matthew, Damien came out and took one. Like I thought he had a real impact, and it wouldn't surprise me to see John Maher come in, Matthew Tierney come in, and Shane come in then for someone at some stage in late first half, early second half. I think Cathal Sweeney and Kieran Molloy still have a huge amount to offer, and will still be integral to how the game will go on Saturday. But I, for me, looking at it from a very distant viewpoint, having obviously not seen what has happened in Loch George in the intervening weeks, that would be probably the decisions I would go with anyway.
How do you see the makeup of the forward line, Sean?
Yeah, it's like there's an argument, you know, to have that energy coming off the bench again, and you know, finishing with such a, you know, such a strong team as Galway did. And again, you know, sometimes when you're coming off the bench and you haven't played a lot of football, you do have that extra bit of energy, almost that bite. And you could definitely see that in Matthew Tierney's game. You know, it's not only the of the kickouts that he won, but the tackles, and you know, he really got in, he really got stuck in. And you know, probably wouldn't be exactly known for that, you know, getting stuck in, but he definitely had that energy or that bite or grit between the teeth. So it will be interesting. I think Pádraic will want to have if one or even two of those again to come off the bench, you know, because you know, Derry will you know, throw everything at Galway, and you know, it could be a slow enough game at the start, both teams trying to figure each other out. You know, it could be you know, defensive, and a lot of probing. And then when the game opens up with 20 minutes left, you know, do you want a Matthew Tierney with fresh legs at that time, and a Shane with fresh legs at that time to be able to have more space, as Barry said there, and to be able to actually to use the space more effectively, rather than, you know, most games, you know, there's you can see a slow start. You know, sometimes only 3 or 4 points in it after 20, 25 minutes. So again, you know, it'll be interesting now after it worked so well against Mayo. But then, you know, it's the catch 22. You know, you don't want to kind of leave too much work too if you want to start your best players from the start. So it will be interesting now. And again, you know, the backs probably pick themselves. And again, midfield, will they want a bit more legs, but considering who they're up against? So you know, it will be interesting to see what team is put out. So you know, looking forward to, you know, to Saturday and seeing, you know, how they all get on.
So are you both holding Shane in reserve to come in the first half here?
Again, I can't. I think he'll definitely leave one of them, and possibly two. Again, we don't really know. Maybe someone else knows something. Was that, you know, was it a kind of a statement that Shane didn't start because, you know, that he wasn't hitting the ground running, against Sligo? Maybe was he carrying an injury? Sometimes you don't know. He might be fully fit again. You know, might be. So again, it's hard to know. As Barry said there, you know, we don't really exactly know, you know, what's happening in Loch George. And you know, in fairness, you know that, you know, they keep things nice and quiet there. You don't hear anything really coming out from the camp. So you know, it will be interesting. But as I said, a lot of the teams, you know, winning All Ireland's now, there is an argument to say that they've, you know, the team they finish with, you know, is stronger than the team they start with. And you know, to win an All Ireland, you need to be those fresh legs that can have an impact. And I think that's what Galway maybe lacked. So, you know, in the previous time when they lost to Kerry in the All Ireland, that didn't have that bit of bite coming off the bench. So again, there's an argument to say to do it again. Only time will tell.
Just on this, Barry, how important are nearly the middle third players when you're looking at Johnny Heaney, Sean Kelly, even Matthew Tierney if he plays, Keane Darcy, these players? How important are those players? Because we all know Derry are running team from the halfback line.
Like hugely important when you think of the importance that Brendan Rodgers and Conor Glass are for Derry, and throw in Ethan Doherty, and around the middle they're very strong. Now I feel that Owen McAvoy, I think he'll go back on Damien. I can't see Chris McKay picking up Damien Comer. I think
Yeah, he
Christy
picked
might
up
pick up.
Finnerty in
I think
2022.
he'll pick up Rob Finnerty, and I think Owen McAvoy will pick up
Comer.
Damien. Yeah. So I think now I also think that Gareth McInnes will start for them.
He probably will because McGrogan's out with Chris Hughes.
I think McGrogan's loss is going to be felt as well. A really good player, but everybody's going to have to put in a shift. Like, it's not, yeah, you can talk about the middle third and all this. Like, it's so important that, like, the Damien's, like, it might go well for Damien. I'm only picking Damien, I'm not trying to highlight any flaw in his game whatsoever, but it mightn't go well for Damien on Saturday, or it mightn't go as well for Rob Finnerty on Saturday. But they have to stay showing, they have to stay working, they have to stay tracking, they have to be, it's so important that, like, even if you're not going to dispossess a guy or one of their cornerbacks, if you can just slow him for, if you can make him have to take one more play or go sideways or hand pass to someone else, that just gives a little bit of time for Sean Kelly to drop back, for Johnny Heaney to drop in, for Dylan McHugh and Liam Silk to fill those two pockets. That's everything. The focus will be on that middle third, but it's all over the pitch that it's going to be so important, because if you give up the ghost and you go for a tackle and you let a guy by you and you take yourself out of the game, that's going to kill them. So I think that'll be a big focus on from Galway management this week, is that every single time you go to a Derry guy, you're going to try and slow him down just for a fraction of a second to allow the help come in terms of that player, or to allow Galway get that defensive shape intact. And as I said, it worked very well against Mayo time and time again. They just slowed down one of the Mayo defenders, and it allowed Dylan McHugh and Liam Silk to sit in those pockets. And I think that's where the key is, not the Johnny Heaney, John Maher, all Sean Kelly chasing all day. It's everyone all over the pitch with a really, really good attitude and a strong work rate.
Now, just thinking out loud here, you never know. They might want to bring Sean Kelly, Mark, and Shane McGuigan, and then that opens up for John Maher to come into midfield if they want to leave Conroy there also in terms of his leadership and what he brings. So again, I wouldn't count out. There's a lot of different options, and again, it is going to be fascinating to see what team he puts out, that Pádraig puts out now over the weekend.
Do you think Sean Kelly, just because you referenced the point there, Sean, but do you think he's being considered now as maybe going back into the backs?
Possibly, yeah. And again, one of the things, Sean Kelly, one of the best tacklers, around, and just in terms of his fitness. And one thing he does when he's man marking, he can put a tacker on the back foot. And I think there's no better man than him. And that year, that Galway performed really well. He was the man marker, picking up a lot of these big players on other teams. So again, to fit in, because John Maher will add that energy midfield. If they want to bring him on, there is that possibility. And he's so, Sean Kelly's so flexible that you can put him almost anywhere. And he'll bring a lot to the game. And again, He's going to be looking to hit that form that you know that he's that's in him really. You know, he's probably people are kind of waiting for Sean Kelly to kind of hit that form that he's been hitting for the past few years. And again, it'll be interesting to see you know where Porrick puts him on the pitch.
Yeah, it's interesting because we had my Cullen coach, Kieran Murphy, on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he was referencing the point, Barry, that Sean Kelly can nearly be more dangerous at fullback because he has more space in front of him to make those long bursts and runs that he loves. Where do you see him lining out this weekend?
Midfield or in that
Yeah.
general area, I think you're kind of taking a backward step if you rejig your team for the opposition to such an extent. So, like, you know, they might, you know, one of the cornerbacks might go on someone different that you than you thought, or you know, some that sort of stuff might change. But to rejig everything to put Sean Kelly back full back. I agree that he's very dangerous for fullback, but the logic in my head doesn't really see how that makes sense. In that, you know, he still, if he starts in the halfback line, he still has, you know, oceans of space to gallop up the pitch. If he starts from the Galway 45 or the Galway 65, like he's a lot closer to goal. And I think he's just, I think as the year goes on, he will become more and more comfortable with that role of going at everything. And Galway will get more and more comfortable with allowing him to do that. But he's such an intelligent player that he'll know against Mayo, you know, with the joy we were having inside with the two lads, it didn't need him, you know, bringing an extra body in there. What it needed was him keeping space and letting us get ball into the two lads. The next day could be completely different. So I spoke earlier on and said, you know, they might, you know, Maxwell pick up Damien, they might drop someone into that kind of 15 pocket to try and cut out the supply to Damien. Well, like, who knows what they might be doing? Gall might say, look, right, we get Damien, we get McAvoy, get that other defender out there, maybe get one of the wing forwards to run into that 15 channel, maybe get John Maher in there as well, try and clog that 15 channel that then opens up absolutely acres of space for Sean Kelly. So, like what Donegal did, where they used what is perceived as Derry's strengths and used it against them. And that's like, you know, I'm sound like I'm having a cut at my own management here, and maybe I am, but like, surely at some stage when they were looking at the Galway Mayo game, someone said in their esteemed management, someone said, "Les, what are we going to do if Damien Comer is absolutely killing us?" It looks like they didn't, but I can guarantee you, Mickey Hart will be saying, "What are we going to do to curb Damien Comer? We're not going to leave him one on one with any of our defenders." They'll have a plan. And on the flip side of that, Porrick will be saying, what are we going to do if they start cutting out the supply of Damien? And let's try and use that against them.
Yeah, the big challenge here, Sean, is going to be because Glass loves to sit back on the edge of that D. That's going to be the big challenge here for Galway.
And again, it will be fascinating, especially in the first half, how both teams set up. And I think there will be a lot of shadow boxing maybe at the start. And again, as both of you have mentioned, you know, Derry's, you know, they're running game is really, you know, strong, especially from the half back line. And, you know, we've seen the damage that Owen McAvoy done in the league final against the Dubs. And, you know, it'd be also dependent on the weather, you know, Pier Stadium is, you know, the wind sometimes can have a big impact on games. So, you know, there's a lot of players there also. And again, with Brendan Rodgers and Conor Glass, you know, they're very good working with each other. So that one sits back and then the other person kind of attacks. So again, as Barry alluded there, Mickey Hart's definitely going to have a plan, and he's going to have a plan for Damien Comer because, you know, often if you keep Damien quiet and, you know, surround him, he's often the inspiration for the Galway team. And you can see how the difference, the pace that he brought. And again, there was a lot of maybe naive on Mayo's part, you know, leaving that much space in front of him. But again, he just added that bit of pace. And if Galway can kind of replicate that and try to get, you know, Damien in space as much as possible, getting on that loop also. It's just he's very elusive also, you know, his first few steps, even though he's been marked, those kind of, you know, four strides he takes just to get that extra bit of space, even when there are players back. It's one of his, and he has that big kick also, and he likes kind of coming straight across the goal. It's one of his kind of trademark shots. So again, even if he's being tightly marked, again, he can still get opportunities to score. But I think what Derry are going to try to do is just on that D to kind of almost have someone standing where he wants to do that kind of 4 yard dash to try to put the ball over, that he's just going to have to recycle the ball. So again, you know, it's going to be interesting how both teams will set up. And again, I think it's going to, you know, have a big say in, even though it's only the first game, I think this game will have a big say in terms of the championship and who's going to get momentum from Saturday.
From looking back at the league game, Derry's half forward line of McFaul, Doherty, and Cassidy really went deep to get on the ball. Do you expect just to go half back line to sit back and let them have the ball?
I think they'll cover the lanes. You know, they'll always have, I think the system that they have, they like to have, you know, to break the pitch maybe into two lanes and always have, you know, one of their wing backs on either side. And that's possibly, you have John Daly also maybe pushing slightly to the left. So I think they'll always have two there because they will be aware of Derry's counter attack and that they do want to break at pace and get that outlet ball. So to stop that, you really do need, you know, to cover those lanes. So I think they will sit. And then, you know, one of the half back line on midfield really to have onus to put, you know, to push up and add a bit of pace. But I would be surprised, you know, if they do push up all the way, because you are leaving, you know, gaps there, and especially on both sides in those lanes. That's where Derry want to attack at pace towards the goal.
Do you see us sitting back here, Barry, too?
Yeah, I think we will. You know, we rarely see Dylan McHugh or Liam Silk ahead of the ball when a team is attacking. I think we'll back to your kind of point on that middle third area. We'd be expecting, you know, an absolute fanatical work rate from Johnny and John Maher, Paul, Sean, all these guys to put as much of a squeeze as we can as possible on them. That just, and back to the point that I make, just makes their decision making that little bit off, because, you know, what we don't want to do is, you know, squeeze and they pop passes and get, you know, Shane McGuigan or Conor Glass on the end of things, and they start kicking scores, because it just gives energy to the team and to the Derry supporters, and it makes Galway kind of doubt what they're doing. So I would expect we're going to see something very similar. You know, Sean talked about the lanes, and we know that Kevin Walsh was kind of the man who introduced that into Galway football, and you know, Pádraig has, I suppose, he has tried to maybe adapt that a little, but I think it's still a big focus for them, and we still see Dylan and Liam kind of occupying those two spots either side of the D, and I don't see anything. I don't see any, for me, I can't see anything that's going to change that on Saturday afternoon.
Is Mary going to be given the task to go after Glass this weekend?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I would say he will. Like, easier said than done, but like, you know, there's an awful lot. You can't just task someone with picking someone up. Like, that's a very, very difficult thing to do, because they put everything through him. But like, maybe Daro O'Shea one time for Kerry, like, no matter where he is, or whoever has the ball, they're giving the ball to him, and Derry do that with Conor Glass. So like, you're chasing shadows. So to a certain extent, you want to put your own stamp on it as well. And that John Maher might say, right, well, look, I've been tasked with picking up Conor Glass, but look, let's see, you know, let Conor Glass have something to worry about too. And John's not afraid to get forward, and I think that might be something he'll be looking at. Say, right, I have the engine, I have the legs to go after this fella all day. Let's see, has he the engine and has he the legs to come after me when I really power forward? And I expect John Maher to try and put him on the back foot as much as he possibly can.
The other big matchup that you mentioned earlier on, Sean, is obviously Shane McGuigan. He's their sharpshooter up top. If Sean Kelly doesn't go on him, you probably expect what Go ahead, done this year. Give it to Johnny McGrath. He has been their go-to man marker this year.
Yeah, and in fairness, he's performed very well. And you know, he looks like your classic man marker, really, just not giving a second on anyone on the ball, you know, constant. And what impresses me about him, you know, he doesn't give many frees away also. But he's quite good at getting the hand in and just putting standing up his man. So he's very disciplined also for a young lad. And you know, you can't fault him really. You know, this year he's been, you know, performing really well with that task. So again, it's probably a good thing that you have options of, you even have, you know, through the years, Liam Silk was the man marker through, especially through Kevin's few years Kevin was involved. So there's probably a few lads there that, you know, could pick up a few players, but they will want to get the matchups right. And you know, Shane McGuigan is a very good, you know, footballer. And what Johnny McGrath will also need help from, you know, the arc and other, you know, people getting into closing that space and taking space from the lads, Derry. And you know, we all know, you know, the right foot Shane McGuigan has, and he has both feet. So again, it will be interesting to see how he gets on. Will this be, you know, his biggest task so far? You know, there's an argument to say Shane McGuigan has been one of the best forwards over the last few years. And you know, he's a big man too. He's just evenly big, you know. So again, is that something Derry might, you know, try to target also, to let in a few early long balls in, to try to isolate Johnny Brown in there. So that's you know, it's important that the rest of the team, you know, help out Johnny and, you know, get around him as much as possible and to close Shane for those kicks.
So one thing on Johnny McGrath that I absolutely love, and I've seen it, I'd say about 5 times this year, is he has an innate ability that you often see cornerbacks able to kind of get to the pitch of it just as the ball bounces with a defender and get a hand in. He actually, if you look at him, he can go so hard to the ball, put the brakes on just that fraction, that when he goes the second time, not only is he getting a hand in for the ball, he gets a right shot at a lad as well. Like, I think twice it happened for Ryan O'Donoghue, where he was going for a ball and he came from behind with this
Ryan
big
O'Donoghue almost
Carlos.
rushed the shot too.
Yeah, where he comes with this big Carlos Strand handshake and like he gets a right good shot, gets the ball away, but gets a right good shot at the forward as well. And like that's a skill in itself, and it just puts that little doubt in the forward's head where he's going, oh, I'm gonna get one here, and it's gonna hurt.
Just something you mentioned, Sean, earlier on. Our record's good against Derry in Championship, but Cork's record is also very good against Ulster teams.
Yeah, especially over the last few years. And it's probably one of those things that does the way, you know, he sets up suit the way, you know, playing the Ulster teams. It's hard to know. Maybe we're looking too much into that, and it's just a bit of how things have worked out. And even the Derry, you know, they do have a good record, but I think they've only played in Championship, you know, a handful of times also. So I'm sure Derry want to put that right this weekend. But you know, even now, you know, we know what happened last year with Armagh, and you know, Galway being pipped to first spot, and that had a huge impact really. You know, they had to play Mayo, isn't it Mayo last year that they played the week after, and I think that kind of but you know, but the whole kind of derailed the whole momentum, and it was difficult to come back from that. So again, it will be really important for both teams that they want to get a good start to this group, considering that it is, you know, the group of death, as a lot of people are labeling it. And I'm sure Pádraic will be hoping that, you know, his good fortune against the Ulster teams will continue this weekend.
Barry, given he talked the last day, do you expect us to see Killie Matt Dade at some stage on Saturday?
Yeah, he didn't. Just surprised after everything, Paul. You're still talking about Pádraic's records against teams, but anyway, that's for another day. But he didn't look to me. He didn't look fully comfortable. I saw once or twice he came back from a warm up and chatted to Fáinne, and just didn't seem like he was comfortable in himself. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where he is. If I'm completely wrong and he got another 2 weeks of training under his belt and is coming back into form, then yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, again, if we can get everyone back, we have the personnel to go and challenge, but we do need everyone, and no more so than Kenny McDay. But at this stage, he's going to need games now because, you know, he has huge amount of ability, huge amount of athleticism, but will need a couple of games just to try and find his feet and find form. And hopefully he can do that, and the season runs on enough for him and allows him to do that, because not only does Galway public want to see him play, I think nationally GAA fans want to see him play because he's a really exciting player.
Do you expect to see him at the weekend, Sean?
Yeah, I think because I think, you know, from the strong bench they had 2 weeks ago, you know, most likely one or at least two of them are going to start. So you will look to replace that impact off the bench. And, you know, again, someone like McDaid would give you that pace, that power. Again, depends where he's at. You know, we're not privy to, you know, training and form. The only thing we can guess, if you're under 26, you know, surely you're backing someone to be able to put them in. You know, they're not going to put someone on there that they're not going to put on when they can use someone else. So again, maybe it's just getting them involved in the match day squad again. But you know, 2 weeks, you know, you can do a lot in 2 weeks, especially if you're coming back from an injury. I'm sure the you know they rested for the first few days, but you know they probably had a good session over the weekend, possibly A versus B game. And probably got minutes in to show what he has. So, you know, if he was performing to any level there, you're looking at that impact also. And again, you know, what a player to also, if he has hits a bit of form, to have someone like that coming off the bench for the last 10, 15 minutes. And again, you know, it's someone with pace, you know, with power, you know, that's vital really, coming off the bench. And you often hear these impact players, you know, sometimes. We've seen it for years with Dublin McMenamin. You know, he probably harshly was an impact sub for years, even though he was always performing so well, and even performed well when he started. But he just gave that pace, that power, and he was always good to take on his man. So, Kenny McDaid would be of that mould. So, I wouldn't be surprised now if he gets 15 minutes this weekend, especially if Matthew Tierney or Shane or John Maher start. They will look for to replace those their impact off the bench.
So final predictions here for Sunday. No sitting on the fence now, but Barry, who do you expect to win on Saturday?
A draw wouldn't surprise me.
You took that now. I was going to say that one myself.
but I think Galway could just get a bit of momentum and a bit of a head of steam up. It's been I'm not sure obviously who Derry have played or challenge games or anything, but it's been a fair old layoff, and I think Mickey Hart could be under a little bit of pressure to get this right. And I just think that Galway could shade it, but I think it could be a really, really good game and one that really gets the championship rightly up and
Do you
running.
see it being high scoring?
I think it could be, I think so, yeah. Well, like, I don't know what's high scoring, 20 points each, could mightn't be far off it. But look, it's aren't we lucky to be part of it and lucky to be able to enjoy it.
And Sean?
Yeah, I think a big factor this weekend who can get those goals because both teams, you know, can score goals, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few goals in this game. And you know, Derry, you know, before the Donegal game, probably Donegal came out of nowhere with those 4 goals, but Derry before that were scoring a lot of goals and opening up defenses with that kind of crisscross running and quick handling. And you know, Galway also, you know, with the fours that they have, you know, real danger of them, you know, opening up and getting a few goals. As Barry said there, I think, you know, the momentum, you know, the 2 weeks getting game time into the at the right time, it seems to be kind of lining up for Galway. And that 5 weeks break, you know, what games did they get? Was, you know, would they get the same benefit from the A versus Bs? You know, did they get challenge games? It's hard to know really. And I think Galway will try to start this game very fast. So, I'm gonna go for Galway by 2 or 3.